So I just want to give you a heads up that our wonderful E-Town program, the featured environmentalist, person doing good in the world, etc., was talking about a repair cafe. And I had a virgin experience this past week. I went to the repair cafe in Astoria, and I was very impressed. So you might want to check that out and see what an amazing community we have. I have a couple of dedications and a little bit of music and then my guests. So this Sunday is Holocaust Remembrance Day, as designated by the United Nations in 2005. In 1945, it was the day, January 27, 1945, less than 2 months after I was born, was the liberation of Auschwitz and Birkenau. Have a listen, stay tuned, and thank you so much for being here with us at your Coast Community Radio. Hello, Squamish, New York, Long Beach, Wyoming. Thanks, folks.
Oh, the snow was softly falling on the little Polish town, and the winds of late December, they were blowing. The clouds were all the color of the finest wedding gown, but it wasn't from the clouds that it was snowing. And as we count the number of their names, may we come to see their ashes as the flowers of the flames. May our knowledge be the measure of our darkest memory. May our mercy be the measure of our knowing. They have killed another poet, sang the skies to Bolivar. Now the heart of every hero will be aching. But the silence only deepened in the bones of his guitar. With the sound of every finger they were breaking. And the song goes on forever if it's true. While tyrants rot like roses in the damp and bloody dew, till our words become the anthem of a never-ending love, and our music sets the measure of its making. I saw the Queen of Heaven doorway of a dream. Down the streets of Sarajevo she was sweeping, with a flower for the children too terrified to scream, and the mothers all too weary to be weeping. And if the hands of at prayer can rinse the smell of gun smoke from the flowers in her hair, may she lead us to the promise of a final pledge of peace. May our honor be the measure of its peace.
That's Anne Feeney from her album, Have You Been to Jail for Justice? That Anne Feeney, she's terrific. And so are you for listening, and so are my guests. I think, I better check with them, but I think they might both be KMUN virgins. Is that true? You have not been on this station before?
Well, this would be the first time, yeah.
And I've never been on the radio before, so there's that.
Okay.
Well, first time for everything, right?
There is, actually. And, you know, it's simple, and now you can come back anytime.
Well, thank you. I'd love to come back.
Good. We'll talk. That was the voice of Luke Manning, and I just met Luke today. And Luke is a young man, one of the students, and with him is... also young, but not quite as young. Ryan Hume is here, and Ryan's name shows up all over the place in this area, in newspapers and the college. And Ryan is the editor of RAIN magazine, Clatsop Community College Literary Magazine. And as most of you regular listeners know, this is an event-driven show, so you better hurry up. Because the deadline is February 1st. That's a week from today. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're kind of last minute, but I'm going to let Ryan tell you all about it, and then Luke can pitch in his part. Ryan, for folks who are not familiar with RAIN magazine, what is it? Who can... take part in it? It's just for students, etc. And who are you? Where did you come from? You sort of erupted on the scene.
Yes,
and
who
then,
is the strange
and
man?
Then I just kept seeing you all over the place, though.
Fair enough. I'll start with RAIN and get back to my origin story. RAIN magazine, we are right now putting together our 50th issue.
Oh, wow.
Which we're really excited about that.
That's very exciting.
And yes, the deadline for submissions is February 1st. We take pretty much a potpourri of what people's creative talents can give us. We want fiction. We want nonfiction, poetry, visual art. We try to focus on the North Coast. We do sometimes publish people from outside of town if they come across, you know, our submissions. Mm-hmm. But the majority of what we publish is people in the area.
Local and regional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say visual arts, are we talking photography, paintings, drawings, what?
All of it.
Even
we've done photography of sculpture
as
well. So, that's kind of one removed. But
is there color involved or is it black and white?
Both. So obviously we're, subject
expensive.
To our budget.
Yes.
But we do publish in color every year. And especially with artists, we really prefer if they will tell us if it can be published in black and white, just to have that option going forward, because, money is always an issue.
For sure.
But, yeah.
Our
covers are in full color. We do, I think last year we had probably about 28 pages of color art.
That's quite substantial. Yeah, I've got my RAIN magazines. Then it's kind of almost a book rather than a magazine.
It really is a book, yes. And, one of the nice things about RAIN, especially going towards our 50th, and just one caveat, I'm not exactly sure if it's the 50th year we've been in publication, but it is the 50th issue by number.
Right.
We have repeat offenders. there are poets that have been in the last 28 issues.
Oh my!
So it's a really great community, and it's very fun to be a part of it at this point.
And is there a theme in this 50th issue? Some years there's sort of, or is it
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normally we do a theme section.
Okay.
Kind of based off of a general concept. Mm-hmm. For this year, and this would be good to tell your listeners, we're mostly focused on the idea of it being the 50th issue, and we kind of want get some of the history out. So we'll be doing interviews with former editors.
Oh, nice.
As well as former contributors.
Can you give us names of some of the former editors?
Well, I can tell you off the top of my head, Allison Roosh did it for 2 years before I took over.
When did you take over?
This will be my third year.
Okay.
Guess that would be...
That's close.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Before that, Nancy Cook...
Oh, yeah,
and,
right.
And Dr. Julie Brown have both taken reins, if you will.
Karen Temple.
And Karen Temple, yes.
Right.
And we're still searching beyond that. Just as an anecdote, oddly, last year I learned that my mother-in-law worked on Rain in the 70s.
Interesting.
Here. She lived here?
She went to CCC
in the
early 70s.
Nah.
Yeah, right. So
how long have you lived in the area?
I have now, it'll be 6 years in August.
Okay.
We just bought a house, actually.
Congratulations. So, so you're sticking around. That's terrific. Now, you said people can submit, but not everybody who submits gets into the magazine or the book.
Correct.
Who decides?
Well, this would be a great time to introduce Luke Manning.
Hello.
Yes. Luke is a newly minted student staff on Rain Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, Rain is the product of a class called Writing 270 Literary Publications, where we study literary publications in general and then make all of those hard decisions. Whether it's content or also design. And we do it all in-house at CCC. Mm-hmm. And so, Luke, we're, 3 weeks in now?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So
three
Luke,
or 4 weeks.
So, Luke, tell us about yourself. Now, are you a regular, quote, regular college student or just enrolled
No, this would be my first quarter at Clatsop studying right now. So I'm pretty new to... Clatsop and that whole schooling stuff. I've been meaning to go back for the longest time now. I took some college classes when I was living in Spokane a couple of years ago. And, I just figured, like, now is the perfect time for me to do it. You know, I actually know what I want to do, you know.
Good for you.
I'm going to English, looking at possibly journalism as a career focus.
So you would take like your 2 years here, get your 2 year degree, and then transfer? Is that how?
Possibly. Yeah. I am open to that. I haven't decided what school I would transfer to.
Oh, you
right
don't
now.
Need to. Hey, you just start it.
Yeah,
take
exactly.
your time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to take my time with
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. So, do you write yourself?
Yeah, I actually am going to submit a piece for this issue of Rain Magazine. I'm working on a fiction short story. It's looking to be like kind of a murder mystery thriller type story.
So when you say a short story, like how many pages? I know some people go by words.
Well, the limit is, 5,000 words or less, I believe?
Correct, yes. For prose submissions, we look for 5,000 or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mine came out to be about 5 pages long or so, 4 or 5 pages.
Okay. And then are you part, as one of the student editors, are you part of the group that decides what's going to go into the magazine?
Yes. So the past few weeks, we've been kind of going over submissions. We've gotten a few good ideas in a couple really good stories. There's a lot of on the maybe list right now, so that will have to
It's a good
work
way to
with.
Start.
So, yes,
so
it is a good way to start.
How many of you are there? How many students?
There's about 6 other students other than myself.
Yeah, I think we're a group of 8 this year.
Okay.
Something like that.
So is that, does that get sticky? Like, you love a piece and someone else hates it?
We've actually been pretty consistent, haven't we?
It's been pretty cordial. Yeah. You know, and a lot of this is about setting rules up front. You know, think about the person, you know, consider the piece that you're looking at. What if that person was in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, is it judged blind, though? You don't know who wrote it, or do you? Or the names on the pieces?
We do know. Yeah. And I encourage the students in the class to also submit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that also helps keep things cordial. But I also, yes, I give them the option of using a pseudonym.
Uh-huh.
If they want, so they can hear honest feedback,
right,
without somebody
that
knowing.
That sounds scary. I don't know. I think I'd want my name on there and say, please be nice. My first publication, please be nice.
Yeah, enough, no, yes. I have
and
no plans.
And it is up to them whether they decide to do that,
right,
or not.
Yeah, and I have no plans of using a pseudonym or anything. I'm just going to go all out there.
Okay. Yes. Have you done this kind of work before?
This is actually my first completely original piece I've done. I've only started writing in my free time, like, only the past few years. Just, I don't know, kind of doing, like, fan fiction stuff and, like, Dungeons & Dragons role-playing stuff. So it's exciting to, you know, finally get an original piece, mm-hmm, out there. And I hope people will like it. So,
did you, is this particular class also about the writing process, or is this about the putting together of a publication?
Yeah, correct. It's more about the publication process. So I've worked at a variety of different journals for a number of years. So I do try to give them just sort of a general sense of the publication business.
Mm-hmm.
We create a style guide every year.
What does that mean?
Which is often based off of, it's sort of how you put your commas, your semicolons.
Okay, good.
So every publication house has their own in-house style guide, often based off of Chicago style.
Dang.
So the majority of, let's say, English majors usually learn MLA, Modern Language Association style, to write papers in. They don't learn Chicago. So this is the one place when I teach, where I'm able to teach them the industry standard.
This is fascinating because, mm-hmm, I think most of us, readers and writers, often have no idea about that. Of course, if people want to become published,
mm-hmm,
it behooves them to learn this stuff.
It's good to know. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Are all of these students in your class young people?
Mm-hmm.
Or
they're about
college
my age
students?
Just
okay.
About.
This year, yes.
This year.
But that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when we put out our initial submission guidelines in October, we encourage people from across the community,
right,
to be involved.
Right.
But so we've had a variety of age groups.
Mm-hmm. And I know at sometimes in the past, Lucian Swordloff's been involved in the design of the cover.
Correct, yeah.
Is that, mm-hmm, happening now, or are you folks doing that as well?
We are doing that. And Lucian is an amazing resource. I'll just,
mm-hmm,
shout that out,
yeah,
at the moment. The class used to be split,
mm-hmm,
between editing and design. And Lucian was in charge of design.
I see.
That's
okay.
Not the case at the moment.
I see.
But he's a great resource. He came in and talked to us.
Yeah.
I try to get a lot of guest speakers in to get,
nice,
people different perspectives,
mm-hmm,
beyond,
yeah,
my own.
Well, Luke, what made you decide to take this class even?
My advisor actually recommended this to me.
Mm-hmm.
She said that it may be a good fit, and so far I'm really enjoying this class. It's been an interesting challenge, to say the least, and it feels good to finally find a creative outlet for myself that really works for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
You said you did do some college before.
Yeah, back when I was living in Spokane. That, mm-hmm, was a few years ago now.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
This is fantastic, and it sounds like it's going to be a terrific publication. When do you expect? I don't always succeed, but I always try to get to the It's, I was going to say performance, because that's really what it is. When Rain Magazine is published, we all gather in the art space, and mm-hmm. the published art, writers get to read their work, or the artists. Mm-hmm. Do you know when that's going to be, or not planned?
We are far from really locking a date down, but generally it's in late May or early June.
Okay.
We usually aim for late May, and then something happens.
Uh-huh. Just sort of move it around there. Yes. So.
Exactly. Okay, so we will put that out. We usually give hopefully a month or two notice. So I'd be happy to come back and talk about
that. Sounds terrific.
When that's happening.
We'll keep in touch.
But yeah, at this point, we're still... still figuring out what the magazine is.
Okay. Yeah. So what do people do if they're listening and they say, yeah, I've got something I want to send in. How do I do that?
Great. Rain Magazine at clatsopcc.edu is the best way to get us submissions. Also, you can send things to Rain Magazine at Clatsop Community College's physical address. 1653. That address has changed. Excuse me. That was an old issue.
Okay. There are all these new buildings up there. Yeah,
exactly. We're looking at...
I think people might want to go on the website to get that.
That would work, too. Yeah. But at Clatsop Community College's physical address.
Right.
Address to Rain Magazine. Also, you know, we're very lucky to be getting to our 50th issue. I think I said in the introduction last year, you know, it's an abject tragedy for a person to demise around 49, 50 years old, but it is a miracle for a literary magazine to get that old.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's more than just funding. It's really about this community and how much effort they have put into supporting us over the years.
And yes. And,
I can't
and,
say more thank yous.
And a big thank you to you for stepping up to edit, because that's another place where we've been very fortunate is to have people step forward and take the reins of Rain Magazine.
Yes. It's a pleasure. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming in. Ryan Hume, who is the editor of Rain Magazine. And what else do you do? Who do you write for?
Well, I'm also a freelance editor, and I write for the Daily Historian's Coast Weekend as well.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And Luke Manning, who is a student editor of Rain Magazine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to you both. I'm looking forward.
Thank
you. And please keep in touch, Ryan.
Oh, certainly will. And we'll thanks so much
back.
For having us,
you
Carol.
Bet.
Yes,
it was
you.
A lot of fun.
Okay. And remember, this—the deadline is February 1st. You do not have a lot of time, but we have so many creative people in this town. So I'm sure some of you will have stuff ready to go. Speaking of ready to go, I have a piece of music from Dane Norman, who is playing two shows coming up tonight at the Crown Alley Irish Pub, and tomorrow night at the Sou'wester. Both of them are on the Washington Peninsula, and you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria. Dane Norman.
Much confusion, it is wrecking my mind. I don't know what is right from right. I spend all my time thinking of the future and what it will bring. Ooh, this spring, and I
You are listening to Dane Norman. And again, he's going to be playing at the Crown Alley Irish Pub tonight and at the Sou'Wester tomorrow evening. And now I have a special treat because I've got musicians for the rest of the show. Scott Butler is my guest. And Scott, did you say you have been on this show with Mark before?
I've been on the radio three times. The first time was with Susie.
With Susie.
And I thought it might have been you the second time, but I'm not sure.
Could have been. Somebody else could have been doing the show. But this show. Well, Scott is a guitarist and composer, and so he's got Oregon originals, and I presume that means he composed them, but I don't really know what it is, what the music is. So why don't you tell us a little, or you might want to just start off by playing something.
I could speak for a moment.
Okay.
And Oregon originals, it's just things that I have discovered through my years in Oregon, and I am sixth generation here.
Oh.
And they are people, places, and things that make this state unusual, in my opinion, and a place that many others want to come enjoy and live in. And so that's the idea. And again, this presentation I'm going to be giving on February 2nd down in the Tillamook Library.
This is beautiful. Oregon Originals present Sally Rissell and Scott Butler. Sally is from Tillamook. Tillamook's own Sally Rissell, author of Nestucca River Country, will speak on native lore, basketry, artifacts, and bring your own family stories of Oregon to share after Sally and Scott's presentation. And the other part, there's a wonderful poster.
Did you
design it?
Yes.
Very nice. guitarist, composer Scott Butler, Oregon Tales Told Both New and Old. I'm doing quotation marks with a grain of sea salt. Nice. And the program starts at 1 p.m. with Sally, then Scott at 2 p.m. And this is free and open to the public Saturday, February 2nd. So that is a week from tomorrow at the Tillamook County Library in the town of Tillamook. So this is not North County. This is
Central.
Yeah, the real Tillamook, 1716 3rd Street. So apropos of what you said about things that are special for Oregon, can you, because you're only going to be able to play one song, so tell us what else.
It's one song. We will head for that one song
okay.
in a moment. Again, my great-great-great-grandfather came across the Columbia Bar in 1840. His name was John Hurd Cooch.
Where did he come from?
He came from Newburyport, Massachusetts, and he sailed for the Cushing Shipping Empire. And he and his partner, George Flanders, took a land grant in downtown Portland. I know,
Cooch and Flanders.
Yeah,
oh,
his brother-in-law, George Flanders.
Yeah.
And he took a land grant from the land from the Willamette up to 23rd and from Burnside to Vaughan, the Pearl District.
Oh, my God.
The Alphabet District, it's also known as.
It's the whole, yeah, it's the whole Northwest area there. That's
And
fantastic.
So that's what, and so there's an Oregon
Holy
original hardly
cow.
Anybody knows about, and all of the extended family that come out of that. He had four daughters, three of whom married various people in Portland. And so that was the start of my interest. And then it's just grown from there. I read extensively about Oregon. I've met many people. My good friend who's going to be on the radio here a little later, Hope Kiter, and I have been associating for 40 years now.
Oh, boy.
And then he has, you know, any number of historical things to say and share.
Absolutely.
And so,
he's quite the storyteller. Where have you lived in Portland then all your life?
No, or? Not oh. at all. In the early 1970s, I owned Pure Earth Natural Foods in Cannon Beach. It was one of the first natural food stores on the coast.
Oh, my
partner, Rena Taylor, and I ran the
okay.
Natural food store down there, which is when I fell in with people like Hope Kiter.
Right.
And after I left this area in about 76, I moved down to Rose Lodge, where I live now, which is a suburb of Otis.
Oh.
And Otis is right outside of Lincoln City.
Wait a second. Suburb? Where's the urb in the suburb?
it's very urby. And, it's about 6 miles off of 101 and just have been there for years.
Okay.
I was a contractor because all carpenters had to be. And so construction was how I raised my family and made my money. But I played guitar for years. And my good friend Mark Loring and I formed
yes.
a band several years ago, a duo called Audio Tattoo. And so we play.
I hosted you then.
Yeah.
And you played over at the Scorcher.
That time we did.
Scorch.
We played here,
yeah.
we played there. We played McMenamins and Gearhart. We played quite a bit in Tillamook. We played a lot lately down at the Drift Inn in Yahat.
So you two are still playing together
sometimes?
Yeah,
we're kind of taking a slight break right now.
Okay.
But,
well, let's hear one of your songs. Tell us, set it up for us if you like.
Yeah, well, because I'm here, I'm going to use the one that makes a slight reference to my great-great-grandfather and also to the town we're sitting in.
Lovely. Scott Butler.
Came in o'er the bar a month ago, sailed up this river past Fort George, you know. Never seen so many fish swimming by. I think this country's for me, and I'll stay till I die. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, now won't you let me stay here and work in this Northwest country, trapping that beaver. He's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, tan him, and trade him for gold. Well, I'm working these rivers, creeks, and streams, stringing out traps, trapping them dreams. Hudson's Bay Company, they're the people I work for, but I never do see. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, now won't you let me stay here and work for your company? Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, tan him, and trade him for gold. Thank you. poisons deep in my bones, thinking ahead till I have my own home. The beaver get fewer, the money gets gone, and them Chinooks, they tell us, you done it all wrong. Now, Dr. McLaughlin, now won't you let me stay here and work, maybe make some money. Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, tan him, and trade him for gold. Came in o'er the bar a month ago, sailed up this river past Fort George, you know. Never seen so many fish swimming, but I think this country's for me, and I'll stay till I die.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, I think, I could be wrong, we're working on our history these days, but I think this building was Dr. McLaughlin's. Does that ring any bells?
Well, I know that when initially, you know, when Astor founded this place in about, I think, 1811, he had to turn it over to the British more or less by the War of 1812. He sold it.
Yeah.
And then I believe it fell into the hands of Hudson's Bay Company. And Dr. McLaughlin was, by then, the chief factor. And so they were here, but they pretty soon realized that this was not going to be the place. And so by the mid-1820s, they'd built Fort Vancouver.
Well, there was another Dr. McLaughlin. I think he was a dentist. So wouldn't that be hilarious if you're sitting in his... It's no longer a dental office, though. So, yeah. So is most of what you sing are original songs?
Yes, occasionally. My friend Hobie Kiter has allowed me to do one of his. And my old friend John Kunick of back in the day.
Timberbound. Yes.
I still see Kimberly when she's around.
Oh, boy.
And so they allow me to use some of their songs. And I have a couple of other songwriters that occasionally. And there's a couple of public domain songs that occasionally I will use. And I break down and use Roll on Columbia, usually so that people actually recognize the song. And, and my partner Mark Loring's father, Michael Loring, has a huge connection to that very, very song. And he's probably the reason that song even exists today, despite the fact that it's certainly Woody's song.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
If you read the book of 23 songs in 27 days, I think that's what it's mm-hmm. called, it gives Michael Loring an enormous amount of credit for saving that song.
And of course, Michael Loring was very dear to many of us. He was our cantor here for 5 years, and he's also the father of one of our local musicians,
mm-hmm.
Shelley, since Mark deserted us for Portland, but sort of local. So, Scott Butler. Now, when you, for this performance, again, this is February 2nd, Saturday at 1 p.m. with Sally Rissell from Tillamook, and then telling stories and basketry and native lore and artifacts. And then Scott is on at 2. Will you be telling tales as well?
Absolutely.
I suspected as much, yes. Sounds like you've...
And I bring along some visual aids. I stay away from PowerPoints. I don't like the electronic age that much, and they tend to freeze up on you anyway. So I have various posters and pictures of things that are Oregon original, such as Cloud Cap, if you're aware of that, which is the oldest alpine lodge in the western United States, and it's up on Mount Hood, and it's on the north side, and it was created very early by some of the people that I will be singing about.
Wow.
So I got a picture of that and a song that goes mm-hmm. with it, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera.
This is going to be a fabulous event. How long do you, because I see Sally starts at 1 and then you at 2. Are you going to just go for an hour?
Yeah.
Or?
Okay. Yes, because to me, history and mathematics share something in that when you start talking about this stuff, people's eyes can glaze over. And so I'm going to try to keep this interesting and light. I'm not going to subject people to a lot of dates and just a whole lot of names and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's not my purpose.
Yeah.
I will have quite a few books there because mm-hmm. with this library thing, I want to really promote the use of our libraries.
Absolutely.
And so I have a fleet of books that I've found through and with libraries, et cetera. So I will be making references reference to these kind of things and showing them to people so that they can explore as they will.
Right. And also, I'm sure you'll have you'll stick around so people can come up and assault you with questions.
Well, they were going to have questions afterwards. And again, we encourage people poster to bring any stories they have. I've had this idea and have been working it for a while. And when I talk to people about it, they will say, well, my mother's still alive, and she has just some wonderful stories. Boy, she would enjoy this. Great. And I shamelessly would like more information.
I was going to say, I can see you harvesting some of these stories for songs. Scott Butler, thank you so much for coming in, Scott. I'm going to let Scott go. I'm going to tell you a little about what's happening while the Clatsop County String Band makes its way right in here to KMUN studio. Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. If you want to send them in, please. Okay. And tell you what else is going on around here tonight. The Astoria Arts and Movement Center has a big 50th birthday party. It's Marco's birthday, and that's at 9 o'clock with DJ Angeli and the Kid. From 6 to 7:15 is a Bollywood class. That is going to be a blast. And it's a terrific workout. The Hoffman is featuring the best of the 45th Northwest Filmmakers Fest, 7:30. There is a vigil, and I want to send a lot of energy this way wherever you are in the world. But if you're here, please join us. There is a vigil for Ruben east of the Columbia River Maritime Museum, 18th Street or thereabouts, on the Riverwalk. Ruben was picked up by ICE, and it was done in a manner that our community is not happy about. But the most important thing is to get him back. He's the breadwinner for a family of six. So that's 5 o'clock today. And then the Clatsop College Art Gallery is the place for the Literary Guild this afternoon. Sandtrap has Chris Barron. Crown Alley Irish Pub with Dane Norman tonight. He'll be at the Sou'wester tomorrow night. And the Crown Alley has an open mic on Thursday. Tomorrow is Troll Radio Review. Don't miss it. 11 o'clock upstairs at Fort George. And we have Dylan Clodgo, Perspicuity, and the Troll Radio House Band. 11 o'clock, everybody's welcome, and it's always a good time. Warrenton High School, hey, Fiddler on the Roof tomorrow night. Seaside Library, Ron Walker is showing his films. The Hoffman is finishing up with Purple Haze Art. The Peninsula Performing Arts Center, Chris Delane. And the Long Beach Elementary Gym has the Windless Kite Fest, Sou'wester, we know. But let's see, Seaside Legion, It Takes Two, Cannon Beach Public Coast Brewery, Danny Delgado, Astor Street Opry Company is showing the film Robin Hood at 7 because they're going to be doing the play. Oh, we got wonderful sounds happening in here. White Clover Grange at 2:30, it's Pi Day. Seaside Civic is Miss Clatsop County Pageant, 7 o'clock, and that is all about empowering women. I read it in the paper, so it must be true. Gina and I are laughing. Oh, so is Hobie, yeah. Anyway, that's not what we used to think, but it is today. Disney's Pixar is playing It's a Gift to the Community from the Liberty, 2 p.m. on Sunday. That's for everybody to come and join in. And let's continue to bring this community together and support all of our families, and especially those who have been furloughed, the Coast Guard and all the furloughed workers. Yes, maybe they'll get a paycheck this time, but it doesn't make up for what's been going on. Tuesday, the Fort George is featuring the Scandinavian Heritage Park benefit. And Thursday, Oregon Wild is coming to the Fort George to talk and share stories about our environment. Ilwaco Library has a book club at 5 on Thursday, and the Seaside Brewing Company has Jerry Sutherland. Of course, there's music Sunday night at the Fort George also, and there's lots more going on. But right now going on, oh, and there's a spaghetti dinner from 5 to 8 at Camp Rightlia on the 30th. That's Wednesday. Right now, for our good luck, we have three of the four members of the Clatsop County String Band. I have Gina Kiter in the middle with a microphone that's too high, and Hope Kiter with his banjo. Gina, what are you playing?
Fiddle.
Of course. And Hope's got his long neck banjo. And Larry Moore, I believe I've seen you here before.
Yeah, recently.
Recently, Larry Moore on the mandolin. The fourth member of the group is Knox. I presume he plays guitar.
Yep.
Yes.
Knox Swanson. Why are they here? Because a week from tonight, they are playing the dance, the country dance, at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And I think the Horsenecks are going to join you for that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we asked them to come
Holy
and join
cow,
us.
Holy cow, that's going to be quite a night of music.
Yeah, it'll be a blast.
Yeah. Well, the listeners, the dancers, or just sit down and listen to some good music are going to be
right.
blessed.
That's
what
right.
time does that does that dance usually start?
There's a beginner's workshop for contra dancing at 7, and the dance starts at 7:30. So
okay.
come in any time.
Any time.
Yeah.
This is contra dancing. A little bit different than square dancing, but
a lot of the same moves.
Very
but
it's fun. A lot of the same moves.
A couple of lines long, maybe a circle dance. It's always a lot of fun. You do not need to come with a partner, although you may bring a partner. Whatever you do, you can have good music and good dancing and a lot of fun. And I thought to start out the fun, I would like to hear some music from you guys.
Okay, well, one of the other things I wanted to say is
Please.
That this kind of dancing, contra dancing and squares, there's been a couple of squares thrown in recently. You don't need to know how to do it. All dances are taught.
Good.
So.
Good point. You don't need to know anything, but wear comfortable shoes and clothing.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna play for us?
What's that?
What are you gonna play for us?
We're gonna play a medley called "Possum Up a Gum Stump and Nail That Catfish to the Tree."
Wait a second, "Possum Up a Gum Stump." I have the T-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, Joseph Stevenson put together a show out at the Natal Grange just about every year for a long time.
Long time ago.
And that was one of them, Possum Up
yes,
the Gumstone.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
It was great.
Okay. Ready? Thank you.
All right. What fun.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that we're sitting Larry, Gina, Hobie, but our microphone somehow got doing. So
oh, yeah?
It took me a while to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, usually that one goes there and that one goes there.
So
I kept on.
All set now?
I do,
okay.
But I kept on turning it up. I couldn't hear the banjo, and the fiddle was really loud. I kept on turning it up. Finally, I looked and I went, "Oh, no wonder." So this, folks, is why when you go to a concert, or even when you listen to the radio, just remember that the sound people are very important.
Absolutely.
They can make and or break. I mean, if it's a bad band, forget about it. But they can even boost it. But anyway, that was pretty funny. So, yeah. So do you usually do instrumentals mostly? Is that what you...
For the dancers.
Yes,
for dancing.
That's best.
Yeah.
It just confuses the dancers if you start doing a vocal.
Right. And what about like an occasional waltz or something like that?
Of course, there are waltzes that are interspersed throughout the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And do you sing for those sometimes? Or
No.
It's all instrumental. Yes. Okay. Okay.
It's dance music.
Well, did you hear? Well, this is what's so fun. We just had Scott Butler on the air, and he mentioned Hobe Kider at least 2, 3, 4 times. And here's Hobe sitting here playing this fabulous banjo, but not a word from him. So all those wonderful historical songs, you'll have to catch Hobe maybe at the Fisher Poets Gathering or...
Yes, I'll be playing at the Fisher Poets Gathering, and there will be historical songs.
There, see. So for this dance, however, which is, again, a week from tomorrow night, it is
Actually, it's a week from tonight.
A week from tonight. It is February 1st. There used to be a big calendar. That one's a little small. February 1st is Friday night, and this happens, what is it, the first Friday.
First Friday dance.
First Friday dance. Do you folks usually play or you alternate with different bands?
We've been alternating with the Horsenecks. Once they came into town, we thought, wow, yeah. I can get out there and dance.
There you go.
Of course, then I had some issues with my health and I haven't been able to, but I still go and listen when I can.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fun thing is to be able to dance and or hang out and listen to the good music.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We got time for another song.
Okay.
If you got one, what do you have?
Yeah.
Actually, fiddle music often makes you want to dance.
That's
so
true.
We're going to play a medley called Ain't Gonna Get No Supper Here Tonight and Nancy Rollins. But I did want to say about Fisher Poets that Larry and Knox will be playing again with a Bierman Creek string band. And so... there'll be great music there, too, as well as wonderful poetry. So.
Yeah, and I believe Larry may be playing with the Brownsmead Flats as well.
Yep.
You know, this is the beauty around here. We have lots of fine musicians, and they just jump in all over the place. They fill in for you don't even know how good it's going to be. So, okay, let's hear. Okay. And this is, again, the Clatsop County String Band. My guests today are Gina Kider, Hobie Kider, and Larry Moore, and Knox Sonson in absentia.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Utah. Okay, wonderful. Contra Dance. And this is February 1st, first Fridays of the month. This is at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. And it is on 10th Street. It's a big, beautiful building. 10th Street and Commercial on 10th, just a little south Commercial. And up the stairs. And remember that tonight there's a party there. There's a Bollywood dance class. I don't know if anyone in this room is going to be there. 6 to 7:15. And then Marco Davis's 50th birthday party. I've known him since he's like 18. Yeah, I know. It's amazing to watch people grow up. And of course, none of us ever get old. That's why we're still playing music and dancing. So thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for keeping the music going for how many years?
About
40.
in various guises or ways, and you can find you can find lots of their music. Best things to just come on over next week and enjoy. Thanks again.
Thanks, girl.
Gina and Hobie and Larry and Knox will join them, and the Horsenecks will join them. And right now, it is time for me to tell you. It is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Coming up is Left, Right, and Center. And yes, there have been some changes in what's going on in this country, but most important is to support this community, whatever this community is for you. Be sure to...